tuned to Anything Goes with Lee Savory. This is Frank Sinatra Jr. speaking. If you like the best music of our times, this is the place to be.
Yeah, and we're swaying with Storm Large and Pink Martini today in our little break from our Halloween festivities. Storm Large, if you're not familiar with her, is a musician, actor, playwright, and author. She shot to national prominence in 2006 as a finalist on the CBS show Rockstar Supernova, where despite having been eliminated in the week before the finale, she built a fan base that's still following her around. Storm spent the 90s singing in clubs throughout San Francisco, and she got tired of the club scene. She moved to Portland, Oregon to pursue a new career as a chef. But fate had another idea. There was a last-minute cancellation in 2002 at a Portland club called Dante's, and it turned into a standing Wednesday night engagement for Storm and her new band, The Balls. Storm, yeah, she pulls no punches. And we'll learn that in a moment when we speak to her. It wasn't long before Storm had a cult-like following in Portland and a renewed singing career that was about to be launched onto the international stage. Storm made her debut as guest vocalist with the band Pink Martini in April 2011 and continues to perform with the band and touring nationally and internationally and featured on the CD we've been listening to called Get Happy. This fall, Storm and Les Bonheurs have released a record designed to capture their sublime and subversive interpretations of the American songbook. That's what we heard a little bit earlier today here on Anything Goes. Entitled simply Les Bonheurs, and released on Pink Martini's Heinz Records. The recording will be a collection of tortured and titillating love songs. Storm's going to be performing at the South Orange Performing Arts Center this coming Saturday, November 1st. South Orange Performing Arts Center, found at 1 Sopac Way in South Orange, New Jersey. Info at sopacnow.org is their email address. For tickets, call 973-313-ARTS. That's 973-313-2787, or log on to their website, sopacnow.org. And Anything Goes welcomes the kind of probably sleep deprived, because it's very early where she is, Miss Storm Large. Good morning, Storm.
Good morning.
Thank you for waking up.
I'm in East Coast time. I'm in Washington, D.C. right now.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I thought you were
I'm
in Portland.
I'm still tired. Oh, no, I live in Portland. I'm just never there.
That's too bad. I hear it's nice.
Oh, it's beautiful, and it's a wonderful time of year to be in Portland right now.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet. Well, are you you're on the road promoting Les Bonheurs?
Yes. We've been touring. We toured the West Coast, and now we're wrapping up an East Coast tour. We played in D.C. last night. We'll be in North Carolina and Delaware, and then to you guys.
Wow. That's quite a schedule.
Since I've been touring with Pink Martini for like the last little more than 3 years, I've pretty much just been on the road for the last 3 years, intermittently with my band and with Pink Martini and then with various writing gigs. So I've just basically joined the circus and I haven't seen my home in a really long time. But it's, you know, every now and then I catch myself whining and whinging and complaining about how tired I am. But, you know, in this economy, if you're going to complain about being too busy working as an artist, you're a jerk. So, you know,
I look myself
in the eye in the mirror and I go, put on your big girl pants, get back to work. You're very lucky.
Good for you. Good for you. I like your perspective a lot. And you're tuned into Anything Goes on WFDU-FM. We're speaking with Storm Large. And I have to tell you, Storm, I've spent a little bit of time reviewing your CDs, and I've followed you a little bit over the years, and I can't say that I always enjoy your work in that strict sense, because sometimes your work makes me uncomfortable, but I know that that's your intention. But I always find your work honest and evocative and in many ways kind of groundbreaking. So, you know, I just want to say that we're here on Anything Goes to stand up for artists past and present like you, that are not always taking the safe route and doing interesting. Well, it's what's true is true, girl. You know, you wrote your book. My goodness.
Yeah. Well,
let's talk about Crazy Enough.
For your honesty. Yeah, my book Crazy Enough. Well, you know, the thing is, to be an artist isn't safe anyway. Even if you want to be Taylor Swift. What Taylor Swift is doing isn't safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would think, you look at her and she's young, she's beautiful, she's got the world going for her, but she's, how many young, beautiful girls do we know who want to write songs and be famous? And, you know, that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. She's very talented and she works really, really hard. So, you know, being an artist isn't safe, no matter what discipline you are practicing, painting, singing, writing. Writing, I think, is the least safe. Writing the book was probably the least pleasurable thing of my life. It was
really
so hard.
You didn't find it? I just want to tell everybody, the name of Storm's book is called Crazy Enough. And if you are, and I don't think most of my listeners are, but if you are easily shocked and offended, it's not for you, but it is incredibly honest. I'm honest too, Storm, and there are people that would pick up this book and be completely shocked and horrified, people who've lived under a rock for many years.
The thing is, though, I should say, though, the point of the book was not, it's not a comedic shock device. It's just, the way I speak is very candid, mm-hmm. and I definitely use, you know, some foul language in some descriptors, but the book is just sort of a peek into the life of someone who grows up with a mentally ill parent, mm-hmm. and the journey that led me from being a kind of a pie-eyed, innocent little girl, like just hoping for lots of love in the world, ending up a punk rock musician. It was a very interesting journey, to say the least. But you know, my language is probably a little bit raw for some people, but that is certainly not my intention to mm-hmm. shock or to offend or to chase off audience. It's just, that's just how I speak. I'm not an educated writer. I didn't take creative writing or any kind of classes of that nature. It was just really me dictating to myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't mean to in any way imply that. I think that your book is, in many ways, like a lot of your work, it's evocative, it's honest, it's compelling, and it's absolutely worth a look for people. And it's very, very, I don't want to say easy to read, because the content is a little rough. You had a very rough time growing. Was your mom manic depressive? Was that,
you know,
bipolar, schizophrenic, yeah.
Well, the psychological, you know, the psychiatric field has definitely come leaps and bounds since the dark ages of the 60s and 70s.
Absolutely.
But people are still getting electroshock therapy. They're still being cavalierly misdiagnosed and medicated. There's still so much that we don't know about emotional and mental disorders. So she was diagnosed several different ways. It seemed like when I was a child, every 3 months or so, she'd have a new diagnosis and a new prescription and a new reason for why her behavior was such and why she needed to be locked up and why she needed to be on these drugs that made her act this way. It became clear to me pretty young that the doctors did not know what they were doing. They just wanted to seem like they really knew what they were doing so they could do something, instead of actually sitting us down as a family and saying, listen, your mom has a whole host of things going on and we can't really pinpoint it, but, you know, let's take care of the first order of business is she's trying to kill herself. All the time. So let's deal with that first, you know. They didn't. They just said, oh, she has this. And they'd give her Thorazine and she'd be flat on her back or she would overdose. And so I have a chip on my shoulder for that part of my life with doctors. I have a real sensitivity around medicine and around especially psychiatric medicine. But mm-hmm. I will admit that it's come a long way.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, I have to applaud you for your incredible courage and strength of spirit to emerge from what sounds like an extremely difficult place to grow up.
Well, you know, I'm sure that there were other kids that had it a lot worse. One thing, my mother was very ill, but never laid a finger on me. She didn't hurt me, didn't lock me in a closet. It wasn't a mommy dearest thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly just incredibly sad because she was such a lovely woman, and to see somebody suffer like that, someone you're supposed to be depending on and knowing that you can't depend on them, and they're depending on you, but knowing that you're a child, they can't depend on you.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very frustrating, sad existence for a really long time. Very frustrating. But since I've written the book, I've encountered a lot of people who have a lot of stories that are 1,000 times worse. And I'm not saying, you know, that anyone suffering trumps another kind of suffering is suffering. But yeah, it's remarkable how widespread that is and how few people talk about it.
Yeah. I was recently, I don't know if you know the singer Barbara Cook. She's a little bit different than your genre, but she told me a somewhat similar story, some of which would never make it to air, but she's very honest also about the fact that her mother was psychologically abusive and mentally ill, but a different story than yours, but still a journey not ideal for growing up. You were told by a doctor that you would end up just like your mother, right? You say in your book.
Well, that was the thinking of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. Amazing.
But hearing that from a grown-up when you're 9 years old is a little traumatizing.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it wasn't something that was shocking necessarily because it was something I already believed. I looked exactly like my mom, and everyone said I was just like my mom. And so I kind of thought that was just an inevitability, but I was given basically a look at the sword of Damocles over my head. I go, well, you got until your 20s or when you have children or some hormonal shift happens, and basically someone's going to kick the plug out, and it's all going to be loony bins and padded walls.
Wow.
And so I believe that, but, you know, also I believe that there is, and I've also read, there's tons of literature out there about mental illness and the correlation between, you know, mental illness, not necessarily illness, but mental challenges and emotional challenges that correlate to artistic expression. You know, I'm not saying that you have to be crazy to be an artist, but I think it helps. I definitely think it helps. I am not wired if I don't have my mother's inherited issues. I believe that my background, my upbringing, certainly lends itself to a transient sort of gypsy heart. And I don't know any one of my friends who isn't a musician who could handle living out of a suitcase to the extent that I do.
Yeah.
Having no home, having no husband, no children, no grounding. I can't even have a pet.
Right,
you know,
I understand.
But
you,
it's the life that I love.
It's well, you've got, when you grow up with a mom like that, I guess you learn self-reliance, and right, and so that's something actually that Wayne Dyer is always talking about. And you're tuned into Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU FM. I'm speaking with vocalist, performance artist, writer, Miss Storm Large. And I don't want to spend the well, I find your story very fascinating.
It's fine. I'm sorry,
No, Storm, you know, I wanted everybody to know about the book because, honestly, I think that you are absolutely correct. There's a lot of people out there who have had tumultuous childhoods, and I think reading your book and youths of various kinds, reading your book could be very healing for a number of them, in fact. So when I finished with your book, I'm going to be sending it on to a friend of mine.
I do hope it helps.
The book is called Crazy Enough by Storm Large, and she's going to be performing because she's a singer, as among other things. I'm going to play a song. I'm going to play a song, and we'll ask about what's going on with the public theater, too. So you've been singing with Pink Martini since 2011. And
yep.
How did that happen?
Oh, God. I was I was living in Los Angeles because I had been working with Randy Newman.
Cool.
And then after I was done with that, I did a musical of his. And after that, I was in Los Angeles doing basically what they call pilot season, where you audition for television shows and film down in Los Angeles. And then all of a sudden, every time I came to Portland and I'd see China Forbes, should say, you know, I need to go to a throat doctor. Who's your throat doctor? There's something going on with my throat.
Wow.
And I said, well, you need to go see Josh Schindler. He's absolutely the best in the Northwest. He's a good friend of mine. You tell him he knows who you are. So, you know, just go see him and he'll fit you in. And it turned out she goes to my doctor and she had polyps on her vocal cords from overuse. And so she was instantly put on extreme vocal rest. And Thomas called me in a panic. And he said, you need to, we need you. We need you to come and sing for us. We have all these sold-out shows. We have these tours coming up, and China can't do it. And we can't cancel it because it was hundreds of thousands of dollars at stake. Mm. And I said, well, Thomas, I don't know any of your music. You know, I've worked with Thomas, I've worked with China, but never on any Pink Martini stuff. And, you know, because it's China. China can do anything, you know. And he said, well, she just can't. So you have to, we'll teach you the songs, we'll whatever you need. And I said, well, when's the first show? And he goes, it's in Washington, D.C. in 5 days. And I go, Washington, D.C. in 5 days? And when he said Washington, D.C., he neglected to say it was not only Washington, D.C., it was 4 sold-out concerts at the Kennedy Center.
Oh, my gosh.
With the National Symphony Orchestra. And I said, Thomas, you're out of your mind. There is no way. Listen, they'll understand. They'll understand that China is ill, that she hurt herself. It happens. He goes, absolutely not. You can do it. You're the only one who can do it. And then China sent me an email. She said, please, please, please do this. You'll be doing me the hugest favor. And so I said, I'll do it on one condition. You need to walk out on stage, Thomas, and you need to explain why the big bimbo-looking blonde is standing there instead of China. You need to explain that I'm not replacing her, that I'm doing you a favor, because China is beloved and she is a star, and she is so vastly different from me, and we perform differently, we look different, we're great friends, I adore her, but we could not possibly be more different. And so Thomas did that, and every time he walked out on stage he said, this is our friend Storm. She's doing us a really huge favor while China is recovering back in Portland. She had surgery. And so, you know, because, you know, I walk out there, it could look like, oh, who is that whore?
Oh,
where is
geez.
Our China? You know?
Okay.
And so it was great. And it turned out she was out for the whole year. And then after that, I took over part of the touring duties, and it's to everyone's great delight.
Very
cool.
So
it's worked out. It's very strange how that worked out, but it did.
Very cool. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to run out of time, but I wanted to. We've already played "Sway" from "Get Happy" with Pink Martini, but I want to play something for everybody from Les Bonheurs. And of course, since you've just called yourself. I'm not going to repeat it. I'm going to play track 7, The Lady is a Tramp. Would you like to set us up for that,
wonderful.
Storm?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So would you like to set that up for us before we...
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Storm Lodge with Le Bonheur, and this is The Lady is a Tramp.
Okay. Can you stick around for another minute, Storm? I just want to ask you about the public theater.
Sure.
And then then we'll give away some
Absolutely.
Tickets to see you. Thanks so much. All right, guys.
Absolutely.
Storm Lodge
you.
And Le Bonheur, The Lady is a Tramp. That's a better word. Tramp.
Wined and dined on Mulligan's too, never wished but turkey, as I hitched and hiked and grifted too, from Maine to Albuquerque. Alas, I missed the Beaux-Arts ball, and what is twice as sad, I was never at a party where they honored Noel Kahn. But social circles spin too fast for me. My old Bohemia is the place to be. I get too hungry for dinner at 8. I love the theater and never come late. I never bother with people I hate. That's why the lady is a tramp. Girl. I love the free, fresh wind in my hair. Life without care. I'm broken, it's okey-doke, and I hate California. It's so cold and so damp. That's why the lady is a tramp. I go to Coney, the beach is divine. I go to ball games and the bleachers are fine. And I'll read the Times and memorize every line. That's why the lady is a tramp. The green grass under my shoes. What can I lose? I'm flat, that's bad. I'm all alone when I lower my leg. That's why the lady is a tramp.
Swinging, Mrs. Storm Large from her album Les Bonheurs. And the ladies, nice Storm. I like it very much.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to run out of time, but you have to tell us what is going on with you and the Public Theater.
Well, speaking of tramps, my music director partner, James Beaton, and I, he plays piano in Les Bonheurs. We were asked to write the music for a new musical that is scheduled to go to the Public Theater, and also possibly in Chicago, we're not sure, but it's based on a whorehouse, a famous whorehouse, at the turn of the 20th century in Chicago called the Everly Club.
Cool.
And it was these two women who opened a brothel in around 1901. It ran for 10 years. Two women with no men. They paid off aldermen. They paid off mobsters and criminals and stuff to stay in business. But they stayed in business, running a beautiful, opulent, basically the Playboy Mansion, for 10 years, and they retired with $1 million cash.
Nice.
They retired to New York. And it was just an unprecedented success. And they took care of the girls. The girls got doctor visits every week and were given clothes and food, and there were no drugs allowed. And it was just this anomaly. It was an anomaly on every level, because back in the turn of the 20th century, the women were being abused, and it was just, there was awful crime, and if you were a prostitute, you could maybe live to 25, you know, but these women were taken care of and fed, and they made money, they were given bank accounts. It was this unprecedented success for women, and even though it was kind of, you know, a crime. I mean, it wasn't illegal back then, back in the day, technically, but it's kind of amazing.
Wow.
And the music is so fun, and it's been writing itself.
What's the name of it so we can look for it when it comes out?
We're calling it right now, the working title is The Everly Club.
Okay. All right, then. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Storm Large, going to be at the South Orange Performing Arts Center this coming Saturday, November 1st. Bear in mind, she made her Carnegie Hall debut last year singing Kurt Weill's Seven Deadly Sins with the Detroit Symphony. Nice. Very nice, Storm. Nice to meet you. Thank you so much for making time with us.
Nice to meet you.
And hanging out with us here on Anything
Goes.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And keep me posted. You know, I think you've got my contact information.
Yes, I am.
Hope to hear from you again, and continued
absolutely
good work and success. Congratulations. This is a beautiful song.
Thank you so much. You take care.
You too. I want to just,
this
is a beautiful song, you guys. Stand by me. Not the one, Stand Up For Me, not the one you think it is.
Yeah, Stand Up For Me, that's
written
the original.
Just gorgeous, Storm. Nice work, and congratulations. With the Von Trapp family singers, that's right. All right.
The Von Trapp kids are on this track.
Very cool. Have a great gig, Storm. Nice to meet you. Get some rest.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, you guys. And this is a gorgeous, gorgeous tune written by Storm and performed on her album Les Bonheurs. And if you would like to see Storm at the South Orange Performing Arts Center this coming Saturday, November 1st, give me a shout, 201-692-2012. But this song is worth hearing.
Stand up for me.
201-692-2012.
And we'll stand together. I'm the sky above you, and I love you. everyone, stand up for me. For your great-grandmother, for your father, brother, and each other and everyone. Be the light, be the answer, be the music in the dark, and stand up for me, and I'll stand beside you. I'm the light that guides you from inside you and everyone. Everyone and everyone.